podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Oh, we're recording. Hi. Hi, it's me.
It's David Campbell. It's Ear the Goat. It's Saturday. It's Saturday drafting. It's Saturday Draft Live. And we are going to be talking about the week that was in the draft. It's an exciting time, wouldn't you say, Jack?
It's an absolutely lovely time. You know, the first pay-per-view of the season is coming up. There's plenty of points to be had. There's plenty of gap to extend. I'm very happy. Happy to be here, of course.
Happy to be here. That's good. And someone else who's happy to be here, the gym freak, the buff man of ESSR, is Mr. David Hockney. How are you, Dave? How's those guns doing?
Gun show is officially open for the weekend. And I'm once again heading to the gym later today. You got to be, you know, keeping that exercise up. Keep your health in good shape.
Dave, we could call you Buff Capwell. You know what I mean? Do you see what I did there?
Yeah, very good.
I liked it. Someone who I know didn't like it and thought that was the worst joke in the planet. He is our Lord and Saviour. It is Mr. Stephen Wilson.
Ah, gents, it's good to be back at the party today.
Fuck off.
Stephen, welcome to the party.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you.
The party is over. You're a bunch of clowns. All right? I won't have it. If I see one of your faces in George Square in the news, I'm going to do that Leonardo DiCaprio gif from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and immediately phone the police on you.
David, I'm sticking my waterproof on, sitting in my back garden, just jumping on my trampoline with a can. That's what you'll see me here.
Stephen on a trampoline with a flare, it's like those Jack Black pictures. That's what's going to be going on in the Wilson household. But anyway, we need to be talking about the draft. We will be going through the top three of the week. At number three this week with 9 points, it is from Team Viscera. It's Gary with Rhea Ripley. She had a really good night on Raw, the Raw Women's Champion, managing to defeat Asuka in singles competition. Stephen, I'm going to come to you first. When you picked Bianca Belair in the first round, it's something we'll talk about your team obviously later on. Were you expecting Rhea Ripley to go that soon, like immediately after you at the number two pick? And what do you think about that move from Gary? Do you think it was wise?
I thought she'd go quite soon. I was between Rhea and Bianca. I thought I probably thought Bianca was gonna have a longer reign, which is probably why I swayed to her. So Rhea was always going to be high up. Did I expect her to be winning on Raw very soon, very cleanly? No, I didn't. But nah, it's a fine pick. If she didn't go with Gary, I think Dave would have picked her. And Jack probably would have picked her if Brew had been picked. So yeah, it's a smart move and it's paying dividends early on, even though Gary's not had the best of starts.
Yeah, it's interesting because she's now number four for the season, and it seems like we could be, because last season it seemed to be a bit of a lull for the female competitors in the draft. I think it's safe to say, outside one or two standouts, Rhea Ripley now fourth overall for the season, and it seems she's leading the charge of women scoring higher points now. Someone else who's doing the same, we have to go to Christian Cage's Instant Classics with Sarah Grieve and Jack. All Rangers fans need to go to the dentist. Let's have you talk about the dentist. Britt Baker, DMD. She's the new number one contender for the TNT title. And with Double or Nothing on the horizon.
The TNT title?
Oh, my God.
Is she challenging Miro?
I hope so. Listen, Dave gets four botches a show. Leave me alone. But she's number one contender for the women's title. Jack, what are you thinking about Britt Baker? Do you think she'll get the job done? And she's fifth overall in the season rankings right now. Do you think she could continue to rise as we progress throughout this season?
Yeah, I think the job will be done for Sarah and Britt Baker. Obviously, she picked her last season when she was a tag team with Strack, thinking it would happen then. Unfortunately, it didn't. But I think it's an absolute certainty that it's going to happen at Double or Nothing, especially with the captaincy on her now, because it was originally on Kenny Omega and Don Callis, I believe, at the beginning, and she changed it after week one. So that will get her a lot of points. And I think I'd be quite confident in saying that Britt Baker could potentially be the best scoring female this season.
It's interesting, and it takes a brave player, I think, to change your captaincy that early into a really long season when she's seen, look, I've made a mistake, I'm not going to be hesitant about it. I think that's a wise move in Sarah's part, and it will serve her well going forward. But also, it's a wise move. I'm not going to come to Jack this week on this pick, Dave. He's just going to gloat about it. I'm going to come to you. It's Drew McIntyre scoring another 10 points once again. He's still top of the table for the season. One of the best draft picks of all time. The question is, Dave, do you see Drew's momentum slowing down as we head further and further into the summer months? Or do you think that this train is just going to keep chugging down that track?
Well, if certain reports are to be believed, it looks like Drew has a potential big feud for the summer, but it doesn't seem to be involving the WWE Championship, which makes me think that his momentum could either derail, for lack of a better word, either Backlash or possibly even Money at the Bank at the latest. So this run of momentum, it's certainly a huge boost for Jack's team and the captaincy on him, because it was a no-brainer to put the captaincy on such a dominant draft performer over the last few seasons, and he's still sitting at the top of the table with 34 points. It's those consistent appearances, though, that are still going to... They're going to rack him up points throughout, but maybe not quite get as many big points, you know, on pay-per-view, you know, compared to, like, you know, being out of the title matches and just being in regular one-on-one matches. That's where I think, you know, Drew might start to slip a bit, but I don't see him, you know, sort of falling so far down the table that, you know, his scoring doesn't, you know, become relevant to the rest of the team.
Yeah, it is a big... I'll come to Jack, because obviously this is the linchpin of your team and your season. Like, do you share those concerns of Dave that it could slow down a wee bit, especially if the, like we talked, the food with gender is what's being talked about? And obviously, to make gender a credible threat, you'd think maybe he needs to get at least one win over Drew within that. Like, what's your thoughts on that?
Unfortunately, I believe that Dave is talking utter pish. it's the thing that, like, I've said it for the past couple of weeks. Like, I've been quite vocal in saying that I don't think Drew's winning the title on Sunday. And obviously, it's rumoured that this big feud with gender is going to happen. The reason I'm going to say it's big is because it's Drew McIntyre and it's in it. It's like your star player doesn't need to be the champion of a show, and Drew McIntyre is a star player for Raw, regardless of what feud he's going to be. He's going to be wrestling near on every week on Raw. He's going to be getting those appearances. As Dave said, he might not get the big pay-per-view points that he'd get for winning a title match, but I'm going to make up those points every week on Raw. You know what I mean? Like, look at that. Drew gets a DQ win, I think, this week. He didn't win last week, and he's still got like 9 points or whatever. So this is, I'm not worried.
Yeah. Hey, Stephen, you want to weigh in as the neutral party here?
The good thing about Drew is he's on Raw about 3 or 4 times a date. You know, so even if he doesn't win on Sunday, even if he doesn't have a lot of win, doesn't win all the matches with this feud with Jinder. I don't know where the word big comes in this feud, but even with Drew. But
Jinder's in good shape, to be fair. Maybe that's where it comes up.
Jinder's in bed, slapping me. Jinder's in good shape, but so's a lot of people who aren't used on that. I mean, Ricochet's a six-pack, man. Jesus, and he's on main event. Yeah, I wouldn't be worried if I was Jack either, to be fair. Unless the Raw appearances start to dry up, then I start to maybe be a bit shaky. But at the moment, I wouldn't be worried.
The table reflects that. You shouldn't be worried. In last place, we have Mr. Scott McLeod. He's sitting.
Serves him right, that bumming, the way bumming drafted with me last season. He blames me for it all. Ah, look where you are now, Scott. Look where you are now.
Look at your laurels. Then we have the People's Opposition, Ryan Dugleesh on 51 points, the Instant Classics on 52 with Sarah. Ross's team is 52 as well. I've forgotten their name.
Laurie Loyal, get it right.
I'm not going to say that name. Gary is up next. He's on 55. Oh, fuck. Today of all days.
Oh, gosh.
Sliding down the table a wee bit is Team Goat with 62. Stephen Wilson with the top 1% are just above us on 64. The West End Country Club continues a steady rise up the table with 68 points. We then have the man, the myth, the legend, Northman, Southman, Conway Zoll, Ryan Gallagher with 74 points at the top of the table. They're relegated. They're liquidated. But it's still the same fantasy team. 94 points for Jack Graham. Still sitting pretty at the top of that table. Jack, you've got it enough. Let's cut the table crap. All right, backlash is coming up. We know there's chance for points this Sunday. We'll evaluate what impact that has next week on the show. But for now, it's time to go downstairs and microwave your takeaway for last night that you just couldn't quite finish. As David Hockney tells us the scores of the Listeners League. Take it away, Dave.
Yeah, and I tell you what, microwave leftover pizza is one of the best things for a hangover. So, but yeah, we'll move straight into the Listeners League and some recurring names appearing in the top five this week. And it seems to be a hotly contested battle for, you know, breaking into the top five and also for second place. So we'll start at fourth and fifth respectively. Both of them have got 80 points. We have Johnny Adam with Bam Bam Gigolos and Colin Blackburn with Just Too Sweet. Now, Johnny Adams has been one that sort of recently broke into the top five. So his team has benefited from Britt Baker scoring, you know, big points this week, even though his team captain this week's the Young Bucks, you know, successfully defended the titles against SCU, which have now split up. So those were his two major wins this week, and that's keeping him firmly in the top five. For Colin's team, though, he's been sort of slowly working his way up as well. His team captain, Rhea Ripley, has also been scoring big points this week, along with Cesaro getting a good win and multiple appearances on SmackDown, and also propped up with the likes of Damian Priest and Braun Strowman. So Colin's got a very good team on paper, very similar to my team almost, but he's definitely performing well, holding fourth place. Then we go into joint second and third. So we have JP again, returning from last week with Shirts In, Balls Out on 83 points. And then breaking back into the top five this week after a bit of a dip, it's Tom Brock and the Tilburg Trappers. Now, Tom, his team captain is Drew McIntyre. Obviously, as we discussed, one of the best draft performers of all time. And once again, he makes the top three tables this week. And somebody on his team that's actually had a very strong performing week is Thunder Rosa, who scored 7 points, I believe, just missing out on the top three, but still a very, very strong performance. And his tag team is the Young Bucks, who, as we mentioned, successfully defended the tag titles this week. He's still operating with a man short, unfortunately, because his fifth round pick is Daniel Bryan, and he's currently a free agent at the minute. So, I mean, but for Tom to still be holding, you know, this position in the Listeners League with one less person is still pretty damn impressive. As for JP, though, let me see if I just find him. Yeah, so his team captain is Charlotte Flair. Now, she's obviously in a prime position to win the Raw Women's title at Backlash this week. But he's also being propped up by Britt Baker, who is obviously one of the top three scorers this week. Where I think his side might be letting him down is MJF, who despite getting the big win at Blood and Guts, hasn't exactly been much of a big scorer this season thus far. But one person that is propping his team up is Randy Orton, who's getting a lot of momentum currently with Matt Riddle as part of Team RK-Bro. And to keep up with Tom as well is still a very good sign of his team doing well. But, and I'm starting to sound like a broken record again, once again taking the top spot with a near 20-point gap is Ross Brady with the talented Mrs. Ripley. Now, Ross has been very much in command of this entire Listeners League right from the get-go. I mean, just look at his team. He's got Rhea Ripley, he's got Britt Baker, he's got both members of Team RK-Bro, and he's also got Damian Priest as his team captain, who has been booked in a lumberjack match at Backlash against The Miz. I think it's easy to probably suggest that Priest is the favourite going into this, so if a captaincy win on pay-per-view is just going to increase his gap even further. And if Rhea Ripley can retain the Raw Women's Championship, it'd be another massive boost for him. So Ross is definitely in a very, very strong position at the minute. Will he increase his lead even more? We'll find out following Backlash. So back to you, Goat.
Well, what's interesting about Priest is if Jack had put the captaincy on Priest instead of McIntyre, there'd be no difference to his team. They'd have won the same amount of points. And That's actually quite impressive.
Damian Priest is currently just broken at the top 10 this season, joint with Cesaro in ninth place.
Yeah, interesting. I got a Channel 4 welcome pack there, and they've given me like Channel 4, you know, those Love Heart Sherbet sweets. So I was just tucking into them while the Listeners League discussion was going on. It was wonderful. But Stephen, you're here. You're on the show.
Yes.
I'm very astute. But we have to break down your team. We're going to ask you a couple of questions each. I'm going to get the ball rolling. All right. And it's the question I've been sort of dying to ask you. All right. Bianca Belair, the number one pick. Here's my question. If you could turn back time, as Cher wishes you could, if you could find a way, would you have picked Drew McIntyre over Bianca Belair? Yes or no?
No.
Why?
Why not? No. I feel like the way the landscape would have landed, you need a strong... I think you always need a strong female. And I felt like the way this was going, there wasn't going to be many left by the time it came back to my shot. I feel like I would have... I mean, if you look at the females who were picked, you know, from the rounds after, Britt Baker aside, they're all doing pretty guff. Let's be brutally honest. So I feel like to have a strong female is more beneficial. And I feel like in the long term of this season, especially such a long season, I feel like Bianca will probably still have the belt come SummerSlam time.
Yeah.
Which means that she'll pick up wins on the pay-per-views. She's appearing on SmackDown, albeit not as regularly as Drew appears on Raw. But I feel like over the course of the season, she will pay benefit more than Drew will. I feel like maybe Drew might still do well. He'll still be up the top three of the season by any means, but he might slow a wee bit. He might start to plateau a wee bit in his scoring, whereas Bianca will start to even out, I feel.
Yeah, go up. I'll get that. And obviously, there's a lot of positives to your team. You're high up the table, and the guys will get to that. But the big headline story coming out of SmackDown last night was that Nia and Shayna, who were the top scoring tag team in draft history last season, lost the titles to Natalya and Tamina. Now, I just need to ask you, you've got them on your team. Does this give you cause for concern? Are you worried that they could be seeing the end of Nia and Shayna here and their run as the most dominant women's tag team in WWE?
I'm not worried yet. I feel like WWE could easily just put the belts back on them in a couple of weeks' time. Maybe feel like they're maybe doing this to kind of have a feel-good moment because, you know, Tamina and Natalya, they really need a feel-good moment.
Tamina does, Steven. That'll be for season.
We live in a really, really, really bad time. Tamina is over. What is going on?
Tamina's the true 11-year veteran story right now. It takes her 11 years to win her first major championship in WWE.
But she's over, you know. And people are moaning about The Fiend coming out of a box at WrestleMania. Come on, get a grip, folks. To go back to the question, David, I'm not worried as it stands because I feel like WWE will still keep them about that picture at the moment. They should be able to appear maybe on two programs still. They might find a way to do that. They might go to Money in the Bank. But if they don't win the title and things start to descend a wee bit in the next few weeks, transfer window, I might end up having to shunt them. I might not. I might keep them. I might play tactics and just spite myself a wee bit. But
it would be interesting because if you release Nia and Shayna, you've got to find their hot tickets for everyone else down the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially people who have Becky Lynch in the last round.
Well, I mean, we can talk, Stephen. You know where my DMs are. My line of questioning is over. Gentlemen, sustained for now. Jack Graham, you have the floor, sir.
One thing before I ask a question. I think one of your comments there you made, Stephen, that like everyone that was picked after Bianca Belair, aside from Britt Baker, are doing pretty guff. I think that's wrong. I would say that's quite wrong.
Yes, Jack, we know you have Candice LeRae. We know she's doing well.
What about Indy Hartwell? What about Thunder Rosa?
Jack, what about Indy Hartwell?
You know what I mean? Like they are near on equal to what your point is on Bianca Belair. So I think I maybe a bit brash from you, but I digress.
Yes. You make a fair point, Jack. Would I pick Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell, or Thunder Rosa in the second round when I'm picking first? No.
That was not what the question was before that. But as I said, I digress. What I want to talk about is your very last draftee, Chris Jericho. Obviously lost blood and guts, caught the stadium stampede at Double or Nothing. I'm presuming this is what you had in mind, but when you look at some of the picks that were picked in that last round ahead of Chris Jericho, we got Braun Strowman, 15 points. I said Candice LeRae, 14. You got Kyle O'Reilly on 10 points, you got Randy Orton in 16. Was Chris Jericho always in your thinking as your last round competitor there, or was it just a spur of the moment decision?
It was a bit more of a spur of the moment at the time. I think I was undecided. I think a lot of what I did was kind of dictated by the guys that came in front of me. I mean, when I picked Matt Riddle, I was originally hoping that Apollo Crews was still going to be there. But obviously Ryan picked him, but Matt Riddle is still doing pretty well, so I'm not complaining about that. But Jericho, I kind of felt I wanted to kind of balance it. I didn't want any more Raw, I didn't want any more SmackDown. I kind of wanted maybe an NXT or a SmackDown or a AEW guy. And Jericho was the one guy, it kind of stood out to me, somebody who appears quite a lot. He's always on Dynamite regardless. He had the Blood and Guts match coming up. I originally thought the Inner Circle were going to win that because my logical thinking as a wrestling fan is you have a big match that's like Blood and Guts, it's going to end the feud. Nope. Completely wrong. So that was my kind of thought in that one. Then I thought he would continue to appear as the time went on. So it's not paid off so much right now. It's another one I think in the long season could benefit me, but of all my picks in my team, Jericho is the one I'm more worried about not getting a lot of points. I think Ty Conti will become good and she will start winning matches on at least Dark Elevation, but Jericho is I'm concerned about. Randy Orton's a fantastic pick, by the way. I thought he was going to get written off, so fair play to Ryan on that one.
That was my next question with Ty Conti. Obviously, 2 points. She lost the title match straight away, and I think it's only been on Dark Elevation for once, I believe, and got the win. So it's a bit dried up after that. Obviously, you spoke about the transfer window. Is if pattern continues for Conte, is that someone you're considering having to get rid of? Because you are definitely in that kind of top three push to go for gold here.
Yeah, I think at the time when we picked, Ty Conte wasn't a really hot streak. I believe she was on a lot of other people's wanted lists. I think a couple of you guys at least had Ty Conte in your consideration. So to get her, I thought was a get at the time. But obviously, she got put in the title match very early on in the season, lost it, and she's not really done much since then. So if it does continue, she will be very high on my chopping block. Knowing my luck, I would get rid of her, and she starts winning and goes on another hot streak. So that's a hard thing with sometimes with AEW. Sometimes the way they dictate their hot streaks can not be a benefit from this particular game. But I hope that Elevation, if it kind of follows what happens with Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa's been on a couple of Elevations in a row, winning, and now she's got herself a match on Dynamite coming up. So I hope something similar happens with Conte. And I think for the round that I picked her in, it could still pay off. But yeah, it's not the start I wanted from her, I think it's fair to say.
I have to say, I'm actually quite happy you took Ty Conte, because if you didn't, that was great. So I'm happy Red Velvet's actually got more points than him. But Dave, we've laid into Stephen quite a bit.
Yep.
Any positives to bring him before he goes today? Maybe leave him in a happy mood.
No, I'm just going to grill him the same way you guys are. And Stephen, I appreciate your thinking about Ty Conte and, you know, her. Maybe you're thinking sort of more the long-term picture when it comes to her. But at one point, she was sitting on -1 on your team. Whereas I'm actually genuinely surprised that you didn't even consider dipping into the NXT pool of like female picks, given that your team has zero NXT representation whatsoever. I mean, I appreciate, you know, one of your female picks is Bianca Belair, because that was a bit of a no-brainer. But what was going through your mind when you decided not to choose a female pick from what is arguably the best women's division in all of wrestling? And look at how many picks you've missed out on that have been scoring big. Picks like Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell, even to an extent, you know, picks like Frankie Monet, for example, who's going to get more exposure as the weeks go on.
Well, Dave, I respect what you say, but I couldn't pick Indy Hartwell because Ryan had already picked her. So that made that decision a lot easier for me. NXT-wise, I feel like in the past, the women's division, we granted, great women's division, but very inconsistent in terms of a point scorer. I've found in the past when I've picked people from that pool, it's not really worked to the best for me. Raquel Gonzalez last season is the example, but I picked her very late on, so I thought that was a wise move at that point. A couple of seasons ago, I picked Io Shirai first round, did absolutely hee-haw. I picked Scarlett last season's transfer season, and she just kind of floated about and kind of propped up my team. And I'm looking at the NXT scorers from the female side of things, and Conte isn't scoring great, but other than Hartwell and Candice LeRae, not any women in NXT currently really are. Frankie Monet's got 5, so that's 3 points extra. You know, Mercedes Martinez has got 4, so is Toni Storm. The Dakota Kai's got 3, you know, so there's not really many other people in there that I kind of thought, yeah, they could be a big scorer. Well, as we kind of, as we've established, Ty Conte going into the season was red hot on the B shows on the AEW. She was appearing occasionally on Dynamite, and everybody was been raving about her online. So I felt like she was going to be in that position just underneath the likes of Baker and Shida. I can never remember her name. Clearly, AEW can't remember her name. Yeah, that was my thing. I didn't think anything else was going any better. It was left in the pool. If Candice LeRae, I've always found, is hit or miss at times. This season is proven a hit, at least, so fair play to Jack on that particular one. I'm going to blow smoke up his arse. He would love that. And so, yeah, that was my thinking. I don't. Io Shirai was probably one that could have went, but as we've seen, she's kind of taken a wee bit of a step back recently, so she may come good later in the season. She may be an option for the transfer window, but as of now, I'm still happy with Conte.
There it is.
Dave, any more questions?
No, that's all I had.
All right, Jack, do you have anything else?
I guess because obviously we've not gone through the last two people left your team. I'll take one, and you could take the other one, Campbell, if you so please. If you have a question for him, but I'll go Matt Riddle. I presume you wouldn't have had in your mind that this RK bro shenanigans was going to happen. Obviously,
not a chance.
It's proved out very like substantial for you with your third round pick, I believe, being the highest scoring third round pick in the draft so far. Is depending, as you said, you're hoping that Bianca Belair continues in a kind of good streak, especially kind of going to SummerSlam with like plenty of SmackDown appearances to get your caps and points up. But say that doesn't, and it's a kind of same trend we've got kind of recently, would you consider a captaincy change to Matt Riddle at any point?
He's the one guy on my team who I would probably put on if I was going to change it. I feel a bit hypocritical because I was on a show last season where I kind of had a go at Dave for not putting his captaincy on Riddle early on, and I've pretty much not done the same, but I don't think any of us could have imagined this RK-Bro thing happening. I thought Riddle was maybe just going to float about under the surface a wee bit. He might have went back into a feud with Sheamus. He might have got some appearances on Raw, maybe not winning the title matches. But for him now to be prominently placed with one of the top guys WWE has in the form of Orton, I can't see very many losses happening for him until the point that they maybe decide to split them, which could be SummerSlam if they're going to do it, my personal feeling is. So I would consider it if this continues, but you know what WWE is, they might just decide to split them up very early and then that's going to be wasted, Riddle gets papped. So yeah, it's went a lot better than I thought it was. I thought Riddle might have got like somewhere maybe in the kind of, at this particular stage in the season, I thought he maybe would have been in the similar points, maybe as Sheamus, maybe a bit less. So to me, double that is a nice welcome bonus, and I'm quite happy about that.
Yeah, and I don't want to say you've stumbled into luck, but I do think you have to a certain extent in a good way. Like, obviously, Matt Riddle and Jey Uso were going to be good picks on their own, but we've also talked about the strength of drafting guys involved in the tag team scene as solo competitors. You know, you're seeing it with Riddle, and we could be seeing it with Jey Uso. Jimmy's came back at this point. You didn't know that was going to happen when you first drafted Jey. Stephen, are you excited about the possibility of another Uso title run elevating your team to new heights and possibly being the thing that allows you to challenge Jack later on in the season?
Yeah, it's a nice welcome bonus. The main reason I picked Uso was because of his multiple appearances with Roman Reigns. You know, Roman, as we saw in last week's SmackDown, Reigns and the two Usos were all over the product, which gave a nice boost for points. But if they were to become a team again, which there's a rumour it might happen, and they will probably win the SmackDown tag titles, if the rumours are true that they're going to put the belts on the Mysterios to then get the belts on the Usos, that would be an absolute bonus. And Riddle and Orton could very plausibly over this season as well take the tag titles on Raw.
Yeah,
two things I did not fathom early in the season. I mean, the picks of it, to be fair, I did pick Uso and Riddle purely off the back of what happened late on in the rounds beforehand.
Yeah.
Sheamus and Cruz that Ryan picked, if they were still available when I was picking, I probably would have went with them.
What about Pierce and Big E?
Not Pierce. That was a stroke of genius, David. I'm not gonna lie. if he was still there round four, I would have went with him. But you decided I'm just gonna snatch him in round one. You know, he's fine. Nobody else is having him. I wasn't gonna pick E again. I picked him last season and he burned me. I was very high on E. I wanted to have E my first round last year, but Scott wasn't having it. Scott wanted Kenny Omega because Kenny Omega was such a great pick for last season's teams.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that right he was.
No, he wasn't. He was very average.
Fine, give him peace.
That's a debate for another day.
Cruz, I wanted Cruz. I wanted Cruz, you know. Cruz was a linchpin of my last winning team of last season's window, so I thought having him would have done good, but he would have been scoring less than Riddle if Ryan didn't have him as his captain. So
yeah,
it's a wise choice. It's, I think over a long season, I feel like I've got a great chance. If this was a short season, I'd be beginning to hand the title to Jack.
Yeah,
I feel like he's got such a lead in a short season. But as I showed at last year's transfer window, you don't need to be high up very early on. You can start. I didn't become first till the week of the transfer window last season. Mm-hmm. And nobody could touch me after that, so
totally
very possible this year.
100%. You've got to look at it. It's the long season. It's the long game. It's the long haul. And I do think that there is something to be said for those middle round picks elevating you up that table. When you drafted number one, you know yourself, there's the added pressure when you draft number one. You'd expect to do well.
So much pressure picking at number one, by the way. See, when you pick like 7th or 8th, you can pick some guff picks and everybody be like, oh, that's alright, you picked 8th and 9th. But exactly. See, when you pick 1st, if you make a balls up, you remember a couple of few seasons ago when Sarah picked Ilya Dragunov?
Oh, no.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
The one for me was Derek with Io. Like that would just screamed first like, time.
What draft. On earth? Yeah.
You're just like, oh no. But anyway, we'll wrap it up for today, obviously. We'll be back next week. Backlash, WrestleMania Backlash, sorry, because that's not a stupid name at all. That will have happened, so we'll be discussing the impact of that on the table. Boy, thank Jack. What are you doing today?
I'm celebrating, having a good time. You know, there's I've got a 20-point gap in this table. There's a 23-point gap in another table somewhere.
I will be watching the news, you know.
What?
Yeah, the wanted pictures. I will phone the police.
Don't worry. I am in the comfort of air where I'll be celebrating 55 and I'll be celebrating level 2 come Monday.
Okay, that's good. What about you, Dave?
Well, I'll be switching to my alter ego, being Buff Capwell, as you so eloquently put it. And, you know, I'll be working my way to becoming a big meaty man.
Sorry. Oh, that's catching on. Stephen, have you got the flares at the ready?
No, but my neighbours might. My neighbours love a firework.
Yeah.
I don't particularly know, but no, I'm like Jack, I'll be celebrating in a low key fashion, you know. Gary having 55 points was an absolute, oh, that's the best. I'm very happy about that. I'm very happy. he's behind me in the table and he has 55 points. So it's fantastic. But no, I'll have a good day, David. I'll have a good day.
You know? And he's on top of Ross.
And we wish Gary quest to save the libraries. All right. So we will see. From me, it's goodbye, and from everyone else,
bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.